It's the Brush back on WSMIRadio.com with Jenkins and Kay Hirsch. I'm David Jenkins, Kyle Hirschman alongside, and it's a beautiful day outside. Nice autumn-like weather, I guess you could say.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been really nice all week.
It has.
For Old Settlers and Butler and
it rained there for a little bit.
It did.
For a brief moment.
I was in Columbia, Missouri, so.
Were you?
Yeah, for my nephew's birthday party, so.
Did you stop by Mizzou?
We did.
Did you?
Yeah, my wife's alma mater went there, you know.
Run into Jeremiah Tillman while you were there?
We did not. Okay. You know, there are not a whole lot of students on campus yet.
Sure.
There might have been some football players, but we were there Sunday, so I'm sure they were all in church.
Absolutely. Yeah. Where else would they be?
Yeah, I just have this feeling.
I think the basketball players are there, too, because I think that's where Tillman got pulled over was at Columbia.
Yeah, they're probably working out already, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
I don't know if there's any kind of rule you have to be in at school by a certain time for athletes.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. It's probably more of a, if you ever want to see the court, you know,
yeah.
that would be a good place
request,
to be.
Request, quote
exactly.
unquote, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so
that's how that works.
I know Dylan Miller's been up at North Dakota State, you know, doing the off-season workouts and stuff like that too.
We spoke to him not long ago.
Yep.
Hopefully, we'll get to see him on national TV in the NCAA tournament this
year. That'd be fun.
It would be.
Yep.
I don't know the last time, if ever, that we've had a local person in the NCAA tournament.
I don't know. You know, not that I can ever recall, but you know, the last. Division I basketball player that Hillsboro had was Randy McCoy. He played for Oregon State, and then I believe Western, but don't quote me on that.
Okay.
And that was in the mid-80s. So
they make a tourney run or anything?
I don't think so.
Okay.
So
that's all right.
So that's been a while for that. You know, I mean, it'd be pretty cool though.
It would be.
Yeah.
It would be pretty sweet. I came up with an idea we're going to discuss. Everybody likes to jump on the commissioners, and everybody has...
Not everybody.
Well, not everybody, but let me put it this way.
Sure.
Everybody has a suggestion on how they think...
Yeah, absolutely.
...a sport could be changed or whatnot. Well, today, you and I get to be international sports commissioners, which means... It's more appropriate to say dictators because we're not you know adhering to any kind of committees or anything.
No,
we own the leagues.
Yeah, the czar, you know. So
we get to make our rule changes of how we want to change sports.
Absolutely.
And you want to go first? You want me to go first?
You go
might
ahead.
Be my turn. I don't know.
I
don't know where we left off.
Hard telling. But no, since your idea, you know, I think. I yield the floor to the distinguished gentleman from Litchfield.
that's Hillsboro is where I live now.
Well, technically, you know, but you're from Litchfield.
But where do you... I don't know. We won't get
I'm
into
from
that.
Raymond.
Right, but I... Yeah.
I live in Hillsboro, but I'm from Raymond.
Right. Okay.
I can say the distinguished gentleman from
I was
Montgomery.
Born in, I was born
from
in Virginia.
From Montgomery County, if you'd like.
Okay. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I'm just saying. I don't know if it's where you were.
I don't
from
really care.
I don't either. We've spent too much time talking about it.
Put a lot of stock into it.
That's right. First thing I want to change is I'm gonna put on my baseball hat.
Okay.
And go into baseball. This is probably a pretty popular discussion. I'm going to take the designated hitter out of the American League. I've wrestled with this one actually back and forth whether putting it in or taking it out because I see merit to both sides. But the purist in me,
the purist in you wants to see a pitcher swing a bat like a rusty gate.
No, but it wants me to. It forces me. I want to see more creative managing. You know, I want managers across baseball to have difficult decisions on, you know, how long they're able to leave relievers in or whatnot. Like if you've got one of your lights out relievers who's got to go. You know, got to pitch across two innings in some form.
Sure.
All of a sudden, you're in a spot where his spot's coming up to bat. Well, what do I do? Do I let him hit when I could be tacking on runs here, or what?
I see your point. I don't want to see pitchers hit.
Well,
and also, if you're okay, say, you know, there are so many opportunities for pitchers to. Be injured whenever they're hitting, sliding, you know, if they're on the base pass or anything like that. And you know, I think there is some there is some validity to it. Makes managers work a little harder. I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I want to see a better sport. And, you know, I'm almost purely a National League guy. You know?
Right. What, 5-10 years ago, my viewpoint probably would have been maybe the majority. I am now probably in the minority. Like, because I think it's shifting to where even the purists who would like to see, you know, no DH can see the writing on the wall. The DH is coming in the National League, and they're kind of, you know, seeding ground.
What do you think the reason for that kind of switch in philosophy is?
Well, I don't know that it has much to do with pitchers getting injured at the plate or on the base paths. More to do with, like, the number of arm injuries or just injuries to pitchers in general. They may be trying to, you know, save young pitching as best they can and just say, you know what, let's go ahead and just do this. Yeah. I don't know for sure, but I would guess that they're trying to save young pitchers as much as they can, because right now it's hard to keep young pitchers healthy regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
some teams are also overstocked with hitters.
I think part of it is also just the way kind of society is now.
Yeah.
That there's a, you know, I want like an instant gratification for having more offense.
Yeah.
You know, and not having to watch, you know, everybody.
Dig the long ball.
I don't necessarily agree with that whole philosophy and everything. I think in baseball, I think that there's some validity to the fact that, you know, you don't want to watch a kicker go out and try to throw a touchdown.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, nobody's, you know, paying to see the fake punt. You know, I mean, it's admirable whenever they go up. And some pitchers are good hitters. Some pitchers are good athletes. And it's always fun to see, you know, and that'd be an argument for it, too. It's fun to see, a pitcher go up and just, you know, pull the trigger and put one out.
I don't know how fun it is, but it's always interesting to see Bartolo Colon get a hit and watch his helmet fly off and, you know, only get a single unless he luckily pops it out of the ballpark.
I was going to say, yeah, he's going to have to hit the ball a long way. So
He did hit a home run either last year or the year before.
Yeah, so. But like I said, I think that's a very respectable, you know, I think a lot of people would agree with you.
Like I said at the beginning too, I do see merit to both sides. So, and mm-hmm. I would like
the inner struggle.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Part of it actually, I think goes in favor of not making any changes at all. Just the beauty of the debate.
Sure. I think there's less, I think there's less issue with it nowadays
mm-hmm.
since there's so much interleague play.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was more interesting. I'd be more apt to keep it the way it is.
See,
if there wasn't interleague play.
Yeah. I started really watching baseball after interleague.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never known baseball to not have interleague during the regular season. It took John Smoltz to basically explain it on a broadcast one time that, you know, there was a time where, you know, National League teams didn't play American League teams in the regular season, and then they only met in the World Series. And I'm like, well, that's kind of interesting, actually.
Yeah, and it was God, I feel old now. but you know, I mean, it made the postseason, it made the World Series more special.
It absolutely does.
You know, that you got to see teams that, you know, you wouldn't get to see normally. Now, I mean, and it's a boon for attendance at ballparks. You know, I mean, if you have the opportunity to go see, you know, the Yankees, you know, play at Busch Stadium or something like that, I can see where there'd be an appeal to that.
Terry Tote had an interesting suggestion about maybe when they do that, flip-flop it a little bit. That way, during interleague, when you play at a National League stadium, you play with a DH. When you play at an American League, you play without the DH, just to kind of get the home fans a taste of what it's like.
I really don't think, I mean, I think it, whenever they play with the DH, mm-hmm. I mean, most National League teams have another guy that they can throw yeah. on there. You know, you look at Luke Voit for the Cardinals.
They could have had it with Matt Adams for a few years.
And yeah, but, you know, I mean, all it's really doing is punishing American League players, and also it's, you know, you're taking a guy that probably hasn't swung a bat all year, mm-hmm. and, you know, now he's got to go up and try to do that. And
this is true.
Yeah.
This is true.
I think the whole, you know, and maybe in interleague play, they ought to at least keep it to DHs only, you know, only. But I don't know. Like yeah. I said, to me, seeing a pitcher hit doesn't do that much yeah. for me. I'd rather see him go out and.
I do like that they made the change in the All-Star game where it's a DH no matter what.
Yeah,
because I do quite too. Honestly, that's the yeah, occasion where nobody cared.
Exactly, and it's an All-Star game. You yeah. know, I mean, you don't want to go see a guy that is 0 for a lifetime. You
It'd
know,
be
go
terrible
up there.
If. Well, and the pitcher's never bad in the All-Star game anyway. But if for some reason a pitcher did bat, like if you
yeah,
know,
if you went up and sent 9 guys to the plate in the
yeah,
first
in the top
inning,
of the first inning, yeah. and the pitcher gets hurt in the All-Star game swinging the bat, then you know you probably would have had the rule changed immediately. But
absolutely,
it was a good thing, good yep. idea they did change it. So, yeah.
So
that was my
abolish
my first
the
topic.
DH.
Yes,
I like it.
I'll keep it in high school and college. I'll keep it there. But well, Major League Baseball. I'm
so you're gonna okay now
because you can be really creative.
You're gonna keep it in high school and college, but then so
these are professional athletes though.
Yeah, but they're going to be the guys that are playing in high school and college are going to be the professional athletes.
Right. Eventually.
So if what if your guy is I mean, what if he's getting DH'd for? What if your star pitcher is getting DH'd for in high school and college? I was with you until you just okay. brought this up. if you're okay, say you got
better learn to hit. Then.
Say you got a kid that's in, with no experience at no? all. So you got a kid that's throwing a 95 mile an hour fastball in high school.
Most
you know,
of those kids were.
You're throwing. Let me finish. Let okay. me 95 mile an hour fastball, and all he does is pitch. All yeah. he's from day one. He's been a pitcher. Never hits. They DH for him the entire time. He goes to college. Same thing. My brother did not swing a bat in college. He was a pitcher. He did not swing a bat in college.
Do pitchers bat at all in college?
Some of them do. Okay, but not. I mean, they use DHs, but, you know, some of them play other positions. Yeah. You know, a lot of them don't. So they're strictly pitchers. So they get drafted. This kid gets drafted by the National League and then all of a sudden has to go up and face, you know, somebody with like yeah. a 98 mile an hour fastball.
It's not a perfect system.
It's not a perfect system.
Me making my last point is rarely does that happen. Normally the pitchers who make it to the major leagues were good hitters in high school.
Yeah, and then they go to college for 4 years and never swing a bat.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, that's going to be, that's good TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good
well,
TV.
Well, hey, it's a relief, you know, if you need, if a pitcher needs to get out of the inning. If anything yeah. else, that's what it is. It's, you know, if you got like a 15-run inning, it's not going on forever because you got the pitcher spot in the lineup that'll maybe get you 2 or 3 outs if you're that bad.
God.
Well,
that's a rough go.
Yeah.
All right.
That's
so,
mine.
So I had, as you may have been able to tell, I had only used DH on my
okay.
list. So we'll take that off.
Yeah.
On there. I'm gonna,
well, a lot of these may overlap too.
Yeah,
we'll
absolutely.
See.
I'm going to switch to basketball and I'm going to get rid of 3 seconds in the lane. Everywhere.
All the way, all across?
Everywhere. Okay. George Mikan is no longer in the league. I don't care about it. I'm tired of fans yelling about it. I don't think it does that much.
Do you feel that it would, you'd start to see players camp out there all the time?
I don't care.
Okay.
If they're going to camp out there all the entire time, you know, that makes it pretty easy for the defense to find them.
It will, and especially today, you know, you like a team like the Golden State Warriors are probably, you know, you wouldn't be able to camp out in the lane like that.
I don't even know. Is that a rule in the NBA?
what, three?
3 seconds?
It is, but it's hardly ever called. It's still a rule.
That's good. But, I mean, in the NBA, you have seven-footers going up against seven-footers. Like, even in high school ball, if you got a guy that's, you know, 6'8", 6'9", going up against guys that are 6'3", he's going to score as much as he wants anyway. It doesn't matter whether he's standing under the basket or 3 feet under the basket.
Well, and today, you don't have a lot of pure post players anymore at that level. You know, even your post players can shoot the three pretty efficiently. So
I honestly, the whole reasoning for it, it has nothing to do with strategy, nothing to do with how just, the game's played. I'm just tired of people yelling about 3 seconds.
I get it.
Because the thing is, it doesn't matter, you know, and they're yelling at the refs about everything anyway. This will at least take one thing off their plate.
This is true. I see your point.
Yeah.
Because if you ever go to a, you don't have to go to a professional college game. If you ever go to a high school,
it's worse
or junior high game.
It's worse than high school.
Yeah, I would agree
with
that.
And it's always the guy that's been yelling for the entire game, that is yelling.
I think people
for 3 seconds.
And I don't understand the rule fully either, so I'll admit to that. But I think a lot of fans probably don't understand the 3 second rule. That might be a part of it. I don't know what the rule officially is.
It's possible, but if we just get rid of it, then nobody has to worry about understanding it because it's no longer available.
Well, normally that person that's yelling about it had in their mind that the officials were going to screw us over tonight anyway. So that
if anybody can tell me the purpose of 3 seconds in the lane. Yeah. You know, I'm more than
please,
welcome.
Yes.
Yeah, more welcome to
why
it should still be in there. But otherwise, you know, it's fine.
Well, I get it if it's like at the high school level and you do have a 7-footer playing with a bunch of other 5'8 kids who's like standing there, hands outstretched in front of the rim the entire time. That's one thing.
So, but there's going to be the difference between him standing under the basket and him standing 2 feet to his left or right.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, so you're gonna dominate.
You're gonna get a goaltend as well.
You're gonna dominate either way. So, you know,
I see your point.
He's not going to. and plus, if you don't like it, stop him.
Yeah. You know? Well, and to your point, if you're the guy in the stands who is watching it the whole time, why did you come to the game to watch that?
What a sad life existence.
Yeah.
You lead if your only enjoyment from basketball is
counting how many seconds is players in the
counting lane. How many seconds a player is in the lane.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I can't argue with you on that at all.
I think, like I said, it seems like a way to simplify the game a little bit. It's one less thing that referees have to watch for, so they would be able to. Maybe pay attention to some other aspects of the game.
This is true.
You know, whether it be fouls or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
I have nothing further to add. It's not really a draft, but do you want to do it the same way? Do you want to list your next one?
No, why don't we just go back and forth?
Okay.
Yeah, you know, that way it you know, like you said, I think it that way it goes a little smoother.
Okay. Well, I don't know how you're going to stand on this one. Mine deals with the NFL.
Okay.
It's changing the overtime to make it like college and high school. However, I'm starting it at your own 20.
I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I really like that because I really enjoy the high school and college overtime experience.
I do too.
I think it gives you a truer way to win.
Right.
It's less dependent on chance.
Right.
So I can definitely see that. So I'm kind of surprised that they haven't gone to it yet, in fact. So
yeah, there's been talk about it, but obviously the owners don't want it to happen, otherwise it would happen. The reason I want to start it on the other side of on your own side of the 50 is because otherwise it would be a gimme field goal and the games would be over pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And defense, I want defense to matter here as well.
Yeah,
and at that level, you should be able to stop a professional offense.
Yeah,
so.
Well, and, you know, I mean, I don't know what the field goal rules are, but Like, it isn't in college, you have to go for two after a certain point.
After two or three overtimes, you have to go for two, I believe so.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can possibly institute something like that, too. You know, take the kicker out of the equation after three, so.
Sure.
I think
that's just been my opinion, but I have always enjoyed that version of overtime more than them playing an extra 15 minutes and maybe ending up with a winner or a tie.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really think, you know, I think you and I have both seen some really good high school games that have ended, you know, I mean, with a big defensive stand.
Where do they start? Are they 10-yard line in high school?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I think it's 10 in high school and then like 25 or 30 in college. Like I said, I would push it on the other side of midfield for the professionals, because your professionals' defense should matter here as well. Just go ahead and...
I think defense still matters at the 25.
It does.
You know, I mean, I think, you know...
But there are a lot more kickers nowadays who have worked their legs enough to where they could probably hit a field goal that length pretty easily.
Yeah, and I understand that too. And I think that's a lot of the case in college too. I mean, a lot of those guys could do that as well. So I'm not sure that I would put it on the other side of the field, because then, you know, to me the benefit of it is that you're more than likely going to see one of the teams score.
Right.
Well, then, like college. So
if we can institute getting it there first, then we can maybe hash out the details afterwards.
Yeah,
I think the
process is a good one. Okay. You know, I think it works pretty well. I don't know. Like I said, you're asking if you put them on their own 40, then you're asking them to go 80 yards after playing four.
Well, 20 was just a number, just because that's where you start on touchback. I wouldn't care if they moved it to 35 or even 40. If you're on 40, I would be okay with that.
Well, the other option is you have them just kick off, you know, instead of setting the ball out of a certain place. You know, you have both teams kick off. You know, I mean, don't have them punt, but you know, once they're four and out, you know. You have the other team kick off just like they would to start the game or something. So
So basically, if on fourth down, after fourth down, if the team, you know, if they either want to, I guess if they would want to punt or
no, there'd be no punts.
There'd be no punts. So just on fourth down, they have to go for it. If they fail, then the other team kicks off.
Yeah, that's just popped into my head. Yeah. So. It's a possibility, but like I said, I love the idea of going to something similar to high school and college. So,
I do too.
Let's
get it there, and then we'll work the details out after.
There you go. Okay. So for my second rule, I'm going to go to soccer, and I'm going to go also with an overtime rule, and no more PK shootouts. So penalty kick shootouts. They reward the team with the best goalie. And it's another sticky thing. You know, I don't like, there's a possibility that you could play for a long time. But at this point, I'm going to no more PK shootouts. We'll do two 10-minute overtimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I want it to be golden goal.
Right.
I don't want it to be, you know, I don't want them to have, you know, or maybe just play overtime until somebody scores.
Do they do it that way for the World Cup, or is it still PKs for that?
It's PKs.
That's
also
what I thought.
Yeah.
Which is odd.
Yeah. And yeah, it's not golden goal, and they play, you know, two overtime periods and they switch sides. And even if you score in the first overtime period, there's still time to score in the second. And I'd rather see, you know, sudden death, golden goal, whatever you want to call it. Even though, you know, a lot of the time penalty kick shootouts benefit, you know, like some of the teams I root for, you know, United States being one of them.
You know,
they have a pretty good keeper who steps up in Tim Howard. So I think it's just... It's kind of like playing an entire basketball game.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, whenever it's tied, playing horse. So to determine the winner, I just don't think it's a great idea for the game.
Well, and the NHL does it kind of the way you would like to have it, because similar sports in terms of like scoring and everything, but during their playoffs, I mean, obviously they have the shootout in the regular season, but during the playoffs, it's continuous overtime until somebody scores.
And
sudden
I think
death.
And I know that's kind of a especially like casual fans, you know, aren't a big fan of long stretches of nobody scoring, and regular fans aren't either. You know, it's just it's not great soccer to watch. But I think the penalty kick. I'll give the penalty kicks are exciting. They're entertaining. They're also, it's just a goalie competition, you know.
Well, and I mean, you, my analysis of soccer is not good. So you could correct me if I'm wrong on this, but it seems like with a goalie stopping a penalty kick, a lot of it sometimes has to do with chance as well.
Absolutely.
You have to guess
where
he's going.
You know,
there's an amount of skill to that, but.
Yeah, you got guys kicking the ball, you know, like, it's, you know, like, driving a missile, you know.
Right.
So I mean, you're basically trying to guess, and you're putting yourself in a good situation, you know, you're watching where they're going and that, but you know, it's a lot of luck.
Yeah.
You know, so
right.
And I don't like the idea especially like at say like the high school level, I don't like the idea of a team moving on to the next level of postseason based on the fact that they got a kid that's 6'7" and has arms like, you know, like an airplane, you know, going. I mean, he's able to stop that. You know, even if you have that kid and you bunker down and you are able to draw a 0-0 tie and then you go to PKs, I mean, you're in the driver's seat. Maybe you didn't really have that good of a game,
right?
But
no, you're right,
you know, and it's strategy and it's part of the game. So I mean, and unless it changes, then you're just stuck with that.
Yeah.
So but yeah, ideally, well, no PKs.
If you're changing it at every level, you have to deal with, you know, the FIFA, so
well,
it's gonna be hard to convince them.
I don't have enough money for FIFA.
It's gonna be hard. Yeah
Yeah, I don't have enough.
Let me start
money.
A GoFundMe account.
I'm sure that would they'd be all over that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. My third rule is pretty simple. I'm going to shorten the Major League Baseball season, not by a lot, but enough, because I think you can shorten it, and if you want to expand the postseason at all, which I know there's that option is out there, you really have to shorten it. Because
you're starting to get snow on the ground on some of these games.
Right. Well, you're especially in April, too. Sometimes you'll have snow on the ground there. So just shorten the season. I would imagine for some teams, you'll help with ticket sales as well. Because right now you have so many games to choose from that you're not able to sell out all of them. If you have a fewer number of games, you can...
Yeah, right now
tickets.
There's, you know, especially in some markets, I'm sure there's more demand or more supply than there is demand.
Right, Miami, Florida,
yeah.
Baseball in general.
I'm not sure Florida. Yeah, I mean, like I said, that shortens. That's not one of the weather related
right,
ones,
yeah.
But
right.
But no, I think that's a valid thing. I don't, you know, it's hard for me to want to go to watch playoff baseball because, you know, it's 25 degrees in St. Louis in October and November, you know, I mean, it can be just brutal. So, you know, I think that, and you know, I don't know that helps the players any. I think that can cause some issues there. You know, there's a lot of rain and that season too. So,
well, especially in a day where we're relying on pitch counts so much and watching pitchers innings, I mean, you take say even just what 8-10 games off the schedule, you're probably helping the innings load quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it a little bit, like you said, it goes back to injuries and trying to protect pitchers, which I'm not sure is the greatest idea in the world, but you know, if that's something that they want to do, the argument you're going to get against that is it may fill stadiums more. But you're still losing money,
right? You're, you know, well, and you're also taking away sponsorships as well and commercials for advertising as well.
Yeah, and ultimately, you know, all sports are just 100% about the money.
Right. That's right.
So you know they, I think it's a reasonable idea. I think it's a pretty good idea, but I don't think.
I know Commissioner Manfred has said he's not opposed to shortening it.
Yeah.
It would just be, I think what he said it was.
I think the owners would be opposed to it. Ultimately, you know, I think you're
potentially, yeah.
You know, I like I said, I see your point, especially with like some of the teams that are not bringing in as many people.
Well, it even seems like the teams that usually do draw well, like they're struggling to fill every game now as it is too. I mean,
yeah.
It like the Cardinals, I know, these past couple of years, and a lot of it has to do with their play on the field, but still, they've been bad in the past and still sold well. It seems like when you see them, the attendance is down.
Not always, though. I mean, whenever I was growing up in the you know, mid to late 80s, after they had, you know, the kind of the run of some really good teams, mm-hmm. Like in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, it wasn't nearly the draw that it used to be.
Okay.
There was a lot of empty seats there whenever, but they were really bad too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they're getting there now, so we'll see in the next couple of years if they're still really bad, if they have that problem.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. You know, I think they will see a little bit of a dip in attendance, but also a little bit of a dip in attendance to them is like 30,000 people at the ball game instead of 40.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're not looking at like even like a Cincinnati over this past weekend. I was watching the games and there's a lot of empty seats there.
They haven't been able to sell out when they're good. I mean, they've struggled. Like if you watch a Cardinals Reds game, you know, 5 years ago when Cincinnati was a postseason contender, it was the majority of the fans that were there. We're still Cardinals fans.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's, I think, you know, I mean, brothers be struggling.
Yeah.
Times are tough these days.
This is true.
You know, I mean, there's just not as much, you know, disposable income. And,
that's right.
And especially whenever you can't take families to baseball games anymore.
Right.
I mean, unless, you know, you're doing pretty well off. It's hard to, I mean, you have to pay for parking. You have to pay for tickets. I'm good not eating at the ballpark.
No kidding.
I'm all right
with
it.
Fortunately, most of the time they'll allow you to bring food in as long as it's in a certain container and stuff like that. But,
you know, but like I said, it's just, I mean, you know, I mean, it's hard. You know,
it is.
You, especially if you got a little kid, you know, it's hard to tell them no. I have a 5-month-old daughter, and Lord knows I'm not going to tell her no ever. So, you know, so it's going to cost me a lot. It's going to cost me a lot whenever I go to a ball game. But I think a shorter season has potential. To me, it's appealing, both on the injury front and on the weather.
Right.
You know, like I said, I think it'll boost some interest on there. I'm not sure though it necessarily makes a difference in the postseason interest though. Most of those games sell out.
Right.
Even now, so
but it would just be
more comfortable for the fans.
Yeah, it would start the postseason earlier, so you might run into or you probably run into not having to play in November.
Yeah, and it'd be nice, but you know, people are still going to go.
They are,
you know, see those games. So for the most part, I mean, at least in St. Louis, you know.
Well, then you can start the season a little later, then, so maybe more fans will go to the earlier games.
It's possible.
Yeah,
yeah.
We'll see.
You know, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Their team's not eliminated, you know. So
yeah,
you know, I mean, I think that's the one. You know, a lot of teams once their team gets knocked out, you know. They're kind of done. So
after the first series of the year, done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
On pace for
160
losses. 160
losses
in a year. So
yeah. Oh well. It is what it is.
Yep.
Your third change.
I am going to go with something a little bit more regional. I'm going to go basketball again,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to go no JV overtime.
Hey, that I think is universal.
Which is, you know, I appreciate what, you know, the junior varsities.
Consider it a developmental league.
Yeah. You know, I appreciate what they bring to the table, you know, but, you know, we're going to go ahead and call it a tie. And, I'm not sure you gain anything by playing five more minutes or
are there periods the same length too? Is it 8 minutes for,
no, I don't remember. That's something I probably should know, but I'm not sure I ever pay attention. Yeah. You know, I don't keep stats for the JV games here. And, you know, and I, JV is important, but, you know, if they continue, if they want to play, they'll play more often. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I know from my aspect is I don't necessarily cover JV much more than maybe a sentence or two or, you know, or a box score. It's because, you know, A, we don't have space or time. And I don't have manpower to do it.
Yeah.
But B, those kids are going to get their chance to play on varsity, hopefully. And
right.
And that's where they'll get their recognition. That, to me, that's an incentive of playing JV is
sure.
that you eventually you'll be on the varsity.
Right. Well, and we have to, I mean, we broadcast those games, and we're reliant upon the varsity game starting
yeah.
around a certain time. So if that JV game goes long, and sometimes we have to pre-record them and bring yeah. them back to the studio.
You're playing Keith Whitley
yeah.
for 15 minutes yeah. while you
just you stay try tuned. To get we will there. Have the broadcast for you.
playing with the Queen of Hearts.
I'm yeah. completely on board. I'm pretty sure every sports person in this station would be on board with that as well.
And I think the only brushback you'll get is
purists.
No, I think parents of JV kids,
yeah.
you know, I mean, you know, I think they'll be the ones that really have a problem, but I'm not sure I'm not sure you're gaining that much. You're probably mm-hmm. hurting your varsity team. A lot of the JV players, especially around this area, play on varsity anyway. So if you're from a smaller school, you're probably hurting, to do that. So,
yeah.
You know, it's no JV overtime.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
that's a good rule.
Three, you know, JV overtime is are two of the scariest words in sports media, I
yeah.
think. So
I like that. I say we make that. I say we just give IHSA a call and say, hey, let's do this. I'm sure
yeah.
they've heard that a couple times.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, and the thing is, too, you know, these are all things that I, you know, I am not going to push hard for any of these. you know, if a JV goes to three overtimes, I really don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I realize my role in this, in the sport is to be there for the teams and for the kids.
Sure.
You know, if they want to play 15 overtimes and that means a lot to them, I think that's great. Go for it. You won't hear me complain.
Sure.
But out of pure selfishness, JV overtime is a bad thing.
Yeah, I agree. My next change is actually I wanted to shorten the Major League Baseball season. I'm going to deal with expansion on this one. I want to expand the college football playoff. Not by a lot, but to 8 teams.
8 teams?
8 teams. Because 4 is not enough. Because there are 5 power conferences, and
sure.
I think right now the way you could do it if you set it up with 8 is you take the 5 power conference champions and then 3 at-large teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the perfect way to set it up.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
What do you do with the – I mean, obviously you got to change things around, like with the season. So.
Well, right now they have a month off between bowls and – the end of the regular season. I would even, you could shorten the regular season by a game.
Like you said, it seems like they have time to do that. So,
yeah.
Would you keep the rest of the bowl system the same then?
You can't. You're going to have to because of sponsorships and all the coaches being unhappy. So I personally wouldn't, but to appease everyone else involved, I would leave it because I have heard the excuse from from coaches, you know, saying we like our teams to go out on a high note, and it means a lot for us to be competing in this bowl game. I don't know how much truth there is to that, but yeah. Hey, it's a fun game.
It's very prestigious to win the Ed's Car House .com Bowl.
That's right.
In Detroit, and
or the Nassau Bahamas Bowl or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
Going to Detroit over Christmas right. is one thing, but going to the Nassau, I can handle
that's
that.
That's the other thing is, you know, some, you know, if you're lucky enough, you either get to go to Hawaii or the Bahamas for a bowl game. So.
Yeah, that would be all right.
Yeah.
But like Idaho or...
Idaho Potato Bowl.
the Humanitarian Bowl where they play on the Smurf Turf at Boise State. So
yeah.
I'm in favor of expanding it too. I think it would give you a better grasp of a champion.
Right.
I think it would. You're still. I think no matter how big you make it, I think you're still going to have teams on the outside looking in.
Right.
That are saying, hey, we deserve this shot. You know.
You are. That's always going to happen.
We beat these guys and they're in the playoff.
Right.
You know.
Well, and that's why I say for the power conferences, you take the five power conference champions and put them in, and then three at-large teams. That way, at least for the power conference teams, you can say, well, you should have won your conference.
Sure. Yeah, and that does put some emphasis on
on
winning the conference. Like I said, I think you still have teams.
Yeah, so. You will. It's inevitable. You're going to have blowback from that aspect.
Yeah. But I think that, like I said, I don't see any problem with that, you know. As long as the NCAA makes some more money, that's all that matters, really.
I can't see how this wouldn't make them more
exactly.
money.
Exactly.
It's more games,
yeah,
higher
more
stage,
games. Yep.
You know.
Yep. So, you know, you can get corporate sponsors for each round.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Well, and you're talking about, let's see, your eight teams, that's what, four first-round games?
Mm-hmm.
So there's your four prestigious bowls right there. You know, your Rose, your Sugar, your Orange, and your Fiesta or Cotton, whichever you want to consider as the more prestigious. So,
the Fiesta Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, combine the Fiesta Cotton.
Like, sounds like a paper towel.
The Cotton Bowl was the original one, but then the Fiesta became
the
BCS Bowl. So
yep. So. Yeah.
You can make those four bowl games your first round games.
Yeah, and I've thought of that. You know, I think that's a good idea too. But I don't. Like I said, it all depends on money. I don't think you're going to solve anything by doing that, though. You know, it's not like it's not like you're not going to have a team that goes undefeated and loses in the national championship, and say that team that was like an eighth seed, and, you know, and wins has lost like two games or three games. You know, but it's a really good competition, but go on a big run.
But what if that eighth seed is like a Boise State? What if one of those teams does sneak in as one of the at-large bids?
And then you're really going to have people complaining, saying,
well,
they're not as good. They just got hot at the right time. It's like everything else, but that's all. You know, I mean, you're going to get that regardless.
I feel like that's less of the case in football, of getting hot at the right time.
Oh, I'm sure it is. But if you expand the playoff system, it'll be an argument.
It will be.
People will say that regardless.
This is true.
People don't know what they're talking about.
I don't necessarily believe in, when it comes to football, well, I'll leave it at that. I don't want to say anything else because that might get me in trouble with a lot of people. So I'll just hold it right there. I'll tell you off the air what
okay.
I think. Moving on.
Okay, so for my fourth one, I am going to go with it's specifically for the IHSA. If you do not have a baseball field with lights, you cannot hold a baseball sectional.
That's a good idea.
Just
sectional? You're going to allow the regionals too?
Regionals, I don't have as much of a problem with. We'll just say the postseason.
Okay.
We'll go ahead and go all postseason. In 2009, I've mentioned this story several times. In 2009, Lincolnwood came within half an hour of not making or of having their state life be determined by a coin flip because Blackburn did not have lights up in the field. So they had rain a couple days. The field wasn't dry. You know, they didn't have lights, so you couldn't play at night.
Yeah.
So they were going to have a coin flip to determine who was moving on to the next level. And that's awful. You know, you can't, you know, you talk about, you know, leaving it up to chance, like in the NCAA, you know, with the outside look guys, the teams on the outside looking in. That's not even that this is, well, if you get heads, you guys are going ahead. If you don't, you're losing. Lincolnwood ended up winning the state championship that year.
Yeah.
But they were within a half an hour of not being able to play.
Yeah.
For that. So I feel like you're doing a disservice to athletes. I feel like you're doing it to both, on both teams. You know, I mean, you know, it can't feel good if you are go ahead and win on a coin flip against the team. So,
no, that's right.
It would taint your aspects. So it doesn't happen very often. But just the possibility that it could, I feel like you have to play at a place. I don't care if they.
There are, especially today, there are plenty of places where they have lights.
Absolutely.
Where you can play.
You know, I mean, I don't care if you don't have a concession stand or a parking lot, or if you got goats out chewing the grass on the field. If you got lights, that's better than playing at a state-of-the-art ballpark.
Absolutely.
That you can't play, you know.
Do they have lights at Blackburn now?
No. So, and last year they did not have a sectional or a super sectional. So
it's the first time in a while.
Yeah, Greenville College had it. So, like I said, it doesn't happen very often. There's a slim chance, but I'm an advocate for you know, in soccer too, for that matter. If you can't play at night, I don't think you have any business hosting a regional or a postseason thing there either. There's plenty of places to play. You know, I don't think you're at worst, sometimes you're forcing kids to come back.
Mm-hmm.
That's an added expense for the schools in regards to transportation. So,
sure.
So no lights, no play.
Yeah, I agree. I don't have anything to add to it. I would agree with everything you said.
You know, whenever Benjamin Franklin founded electricity.
Founded electricity or discovered it?
Founded.
Okay.
Founded electricity. By sticking his finger in the air and the keys in his pocket became electric. I think this is what he had in mind.
Yeah, don't call us on our historical accuracy here.
Yeah, I would just assume I'm right. No, don't look that up. So, okay.
We'll go with that. My final one. I'm going to take the face masks away from, I'll say, NFL players. Football players should, but NFL players. I say that.
What do you mean by face mask?
Face masks. The face masks.
Like the solid one? Or or like the metal things that
keep
them from losing their teeth?
Yeah. Because I feel that they... I think
that they
I don't want to go.
Teeth?
I don't want to go all
spending,
the way. No, I don't want to go.
Spending way too much money on toothpaste.
I don't want to go all the way back to the days of the leather helmets, but I feel like the way helmets are now are actually doing more harm than good, because it's forcing players to play careless, because it's forcing players to not tackle or play the game the way it should be played. And it's not a safe game anyway, but I feel like it's not, players are not playing safe because they're playing reckless because they don't care about what's happening to their head. And if you're going to at a guy without a face mask, you might think, hey, maybe I should be careful here.
I don't think that's going to happen,
well,
David. I think
it's not. It's clearly not going to happen.
I think they're going to continue to play that way regardless, and then you're going to have a bunch of guys with where their bottom half of their jaw has been ripped off. I can't believe you're going to get rid of in an era where we're adding safety equipment.
I'm taking it away.
You know, while you're at it, you know, no pads, you know.
I mean,
No. It's...
Well, if we take away the pads, aren't we just like a step away from rugby then?
Yeah, and rugby's not popular in very many places. You know, I mean...
It's... I did watch it at this past Olympics. Watched it more than I thought I would.
Yeah, at all would be more than you thought you would.
Well, yeah, I never watched it before but so I did watch it at this past Olympics, and it was actually pretty entertaining.
Yeah, it's not a bad sport. Yeah.
And there's some hard hits there.
So
you're not going to eliminate CTE because, you know, when the brain hits against the skull, that's just... That happens.
You have players suing the NFL because of concussions. So the way to solve that...
is to take the helmets away.
Is to take their helmets away. Yeah. I can't get behind
this. You have so many people leading with their helmets today and not tackling properly and looking down. I feel like if there's not that...
I think you're overestimating their smartness, because they know that leading with your helmet is going to hurt. They know that it's going to scramble what little brain cells you have left, and they don't care. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Okay. I'm not sure that destroying their face is going to.
Well, maybe it will, because maybe they'll be so into their looks that they'll think, hey, maybe I don't want to destroy my face.
Sure, it's a possibility.
We'll leave it at that.
It's a possibility. Yeah. Okay.
I won't further expand on it.
No, feel free.
No, I don't have anything else to say. I've made my point.
Yeah. Okay. So, more ugly football players.
Yeah.
Okay. For my last one, I am going to go with an addition. We are going to have a pitcher's home run derby at the All-Star game.
Okay, I love that.
So, you know, you're in favor of keeping the DH out of the league. We're going to go ahead and have a pitcher's home run derby.
Are you mocking me?
No, okay. I'm absolutely not. You know,
okay.
I think this would be entertaining.
It would be.
It's on par with like Rock and Jock from the old MTV days of the celebrity softball game. But, you know, I mean, have anybody or, you know, have pick eight guys or however they do it for the home run derby, have a pitcher's home run derby same day or whatever, you know. If you really want to get cute,
well,
you move the fences in like you do for little kids at home run derby.
Yeah.
Put up that orange snow fence.
They do that that celebrity softball game the day before, so you could just leave those fences up.
Exactly, exactly. Just to make it the most patronizing thing you can do. So, pitcher's home run derby.
I think that's a bang up idea.
I think it would be entertaining. You know, say you want to do it for charity. You know, the one who wins gets, you know, a certain amount of money toward his charity. So, I think, as I went on and on about nobody wanting to see pitchers hit, now I want to see pitchers hit.
Incredible build up.
That's quite the flip flop.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to see him hit in whenever it actually matters. I just want to see him hit for fun.
Yeah, there are some pitchers who can hit. Madison Bumgarner is one of them.
Yeah.
Shoot, the Giants didn't DH for him last year. They went to Oakland and he hit. They chose to waive the DH. So,
okay, here.
Which I didn't know you could do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, new added twist to it.
Mm-hmm.
In the final round.
Switch sides.
You have the pitcher. You have the pitchers throw to each other.
That's unfair.
So final round. Madison Bumgarner is pitching to Adam Wainwright.
Oh, that's unfair.
Yeah. So that may be a step too far.
Yeah.
But I think pitcher home run derby. You'd
pretty much have strikeouts. Like it'd be the strikeout derby.
Yeah. I was gonna say the first person to make connection with a pitch, you know, is wins. So, oof. But no, like I said, well, that was just obviously.
Well, you always hear about how the home run derby ruins player swings and it affects them in the second half. Why do you care if it ruins the pitcher swing?
I was going to say, what are you out? You know,
exactly.
You know, I guarantee you, you know,
what swing are you ruining here?
There'd be pitchers that would be into that. So,
well, Madison Bumgarner did want to be in the home run derby last year, but you know, obviously no one was gonna
Carlos win. Zambrano back whenever he was with Cubs. Oh yeah.
Rick Ankiel before he got hurt.
Absolutely. Yeah. So,
although he probably wasn't a well-known enough hitter at the time to be in that, but still.
Yeah, you know, like you said.
Micah Owings back in the day.
Yeah, I saw him play in Tennessee in AA.
His brother is a shortstop for Arizona. I think it's his brother, Chris.
Might be.
Chris Owings, so. Yeah.
But like I said, pitcher home run derby.
I think we've solved the world's problems.
Chicks dig the long ball.
That's right.
Like you said.
That's right. Well, those are some two big pitchers, too. Bumgarner's like 6'5", and I think Wainwright's 6'6". So the pitchers who can rake are pretty tall.
There you go.
Zambrano's like 6'4", so.
It's an idea. It can't miss.
It is. Oh, they can't. We've solved the world's problems. That has been The Brushback here on WSMIRadio.com. Again, follow us on Twitter at BrushbackWSMI. Like us on Facebook. You can follow Kyle at JN Sports and follow me on Twitter at DJenkinsWSMI. Read Kyle in the Journal News every Monday and Thursday. He's always got something pretty good. And
I'm sure I'll figure out something.
Yeah. What's your column? The
Center and Guard.
Center and Guard. It's not in every edition, but
center the bench, guard the water bucket.
Is that where it came from?
Yep.
That's good. That'll do it for this edition of The Brushback. Tune in next Monday afternoon. Until then, so long.